This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Welcome back to the Financial Standard podcast. My name is Eliza Bavin and I'm a senior journalist here at Financial Standard. Should Australians be able to access their superannuation to buy their first home? This topic has been heavily debated recently, with the coalition government firmly in the yes camp and those in the super industry, unsurprisingly, firmly in the no camp. The Senate and Economics Committee recently made recommendations to Parliament to increase the cap on how much super could be withdrawn for the purpose of buying a home. So to discuss this recommendation and the topic more broadly is Senator Andrew Bragg. Welcome to the show.
Eliza, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So what do you think the cap should be on accessing super for housing, if any?
Well, we've recently put out a Senate report which suggests that the cap needs to be at least $100,000, but it could actually be higher at $150,000 or uncapped. And that is reflective of the committee's view that the super money belongs to the people, and if people want to use their own money to get into a house, that is their right. And we don't think it's appropriate that the Prime Minister determines that all the people's money should be held forever and ever in a lockbox by the super funds.
I mean, the obvious question here is, what will people then do when they reach retirement age if they take, say, $150,000 out of their super?
Well, at the moment, you're seeing millennials and Gen Zs on a pathway to not owning a house. And the key determinant of your success in retirement is your home ownership status. So people will have a home as opposed to not having a home, and that is the best outcome for them.
I mean, would this not push up house prices? The issue currently, of course, is that there is a lot of demand, not a lot of supply. And there was some modelling done by Deloitte commissioned by the Super Members Council that found that using super for housing could push up capital city house prices by $75,000.
Well, of course, the super funds would say that, wouldn't they? Because their objective is to lock up our money, charge high fees on it, send big fees off to the unions and to the financial institutions. So they want to have all our money, and that's the sort of research that they peddle. I note that that research wasn't signed off by any Deloitte partner. None of the key assumptions have been disclosed. For example, you can't see any of the savings that would accrue to the budget, such as reduction in Commonwealth rent assistance, which in this week's budget, we've seen the government spend billions on rent assistance. So that modelling is not credible. But the reality is that the independent economists have said that it would have a very small change to prices that would not be material. In a $10 trillion housing market, it would not be a material change.
So you don't think that there would be any effect on pushing up house prices?
The economists like Peter Tulip and Cameron Murray and Brendan Coates have all said that, and these are all people with different, fundamentally different economic philosophical approaches, have all said that it would be immaterial and have all cast doubt on the veracity of the modelling.
Does the coalition have a plan to help reduce house prices? Because surely that would be a better solution than getting young people to raid their super.
Well, I think it's interesting you use the term raid your super. I mean, it's people's own money, and if they want to use their own money to get a house, that's not raiding anything. The coalition's view is that supply is very important, and that is going to be a key part of our policy. But we also want to tilt the scales for first home buyers, which is why we have a policy on super. And that's why we've been talking about lending standards as well, because we want to make sure that people can actually get a mortgage. Pretty hard to get a house if you can't get a loan.
Well, according to the Australian Retirement Trust, the average balance for a 35-year-old woman is just $76,900. And, you know, I noted in the Senate report, the Senate Economics Committee report, that a 20% deposit for an $800,000 home was $160,000. So people would need to take their entire retirement savings that they've put aside up until the age of 35 and then also have savings on top of that to be able to afford an $800,000 home. Don't you think that that would evidently put them back by the time they reach retirement age if they have to start all over again?
Well, the ABS data is that person in their mid to late 30s that have $80,000 or $90,000 average balance, right? So,
I mean, even if they did have $90,000, that's still nowhere near the $160,000 needed.
Well, it would be a substantial part of it. And for many people who don't have access to the bank of mum and dad and don't have access to intergenerational privilege, this might be the biggest pool of money that they have. So I don't see why we'd have a set of laws that prevents people from getting into their own house if they want to. I mean, this level of paternalism and this obsession with superannuation and this view that it's the only way to get into a comfortable retirement is really unhealthy and rigid thinking. And one of the problems we've had is that the super funds have got so much money that they're able to spend so much money on propaganda and engage in attempts to brainwash people that this is the only way to save for retirement. So my view is, why wouldn't we let people choose? If people want to leave their money in super, fine. People want to use their money to get a part of a house deposit or most of a house deposit. What's the downside?
Well, I suppose one would argue that the downside would be that then by the time they reach retirement age, they will not have as much savings and could then have to, I guess, cost taxpayers by going on the age pension.
But most Australians will be on the age pension anyway by the second part of this century. So the reality is that the scheme has not been particularly successful. And so I don't buy the argument that super is the only way to get to retirement. I mean, that people can, invest in, put their money in a bank account. They can invest in other things. The idea that super is the only way to get to a safe retirement, I think, is deeply flawed and rigid thinking. And I think the commercial vested interests here are really trying to poison what's a really important debate for the country, which is, are we going to give up on home ownership for young people? That's the question. And I don't think we should. The Liberal Party thinks that home ownership is a very important part of the Australian ethos, that we want to maintain the position that Robert Menzies talked about, that every Australian should have their own little piece of earth, which is theirs.
I mean, I don't think anyone's saying that people shouldn't own a home. I think that, you know, as you've mentioned, people who reach time and age and do own their own property are significantly better off.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people would argue that should we not focus more attention on bringing down house prices as opposed to getting people to use their retirement savings to just meet the exorbitant prices that houses are at currently?
We are, and that's why we support building more houses, which is why we support the supply side in getting more construction. The problem with this government is that construction's going backwards. They've announced 1.2 million new houses, but no one believes that. Chris Minns, the Premier of New South Wales, has said that New South Wales will never meet their portion of the housing targets. The National Supply Council, a government agency, said that it will never happen. So the government has failed to build the houses that are needed. We are committed to having a supply policy where more homes are provided. But as part of that overall housing scheme, we think that first home buyers should have the scales tilted in their favour, which is why we're looking at lending standards and why we think the super could be an important part of the overall picture.
So if you believe that the Labor government's plan to create more homes is not going to happen, what is your plan to ensure that there can be millions of more homes to be able to support our growing population?
Yeah, well, obviously there's been a major issue with migration over the last couple of years with this government. This government has had the record high levels of migration, the highest per capita since the 1950s, and the housing construction sector has collapsed under this government. There are fewer houses built than they were built 5 years ago, and you've gone from having 200,000 migrants coming in to 600,000 migrants coming in on a net basis.
It will be going back now, though. In the most recent budget, they said that they're almost looking to halve migration.
Yeah, not by much. I mean, the reality is 5 years ago, you had about 200,000 people coming in and you're building about 200,000 houses. Now you've got 700,000 people coming in the last year and you're only building about 160,000 houses. So this government has made the Australian dream so much further out of reach than it should be. So in the lead up to the next election, we will have a policy on supply that will be a serious approach to make sure that we actually get them built. I mean, the government's plan has been to pay the states to build the houses, and they can't even achieve that. I mean, Chris Minns who's the premier of the biggest state, is laughing at his Labor colleagues in Canberra in his position that he will never be able to meet his own portion of the target. So the reality is that housing has been one of the government's biggest disasters, and that's why we're talking about it so much, because we want young Australians to have access to housing.
But you won't be presenting a plan for how to create that housing until closer to the election?
Well, I mean, we're a party of government. We will announce all our policies well and truly before the next election. I don't announce it here today on your podcast as much as I'd like to. So there will be a serious endeavour on supply. We understand that you cannot solve this problem with super alone. It's not a silver bullet. No one's saying that, right? I mean, I understand that there's lots of vested interests here. People like to talk about the end of the world with people changing the super rules. But like, it's one part of a broader package which looks at the supply piece and the demand piece. I mean, the reason I've been talking about the lending standards and cost of lending regulation is because the government is not. You know that there is a huge cost of regulation which makes it harder for banks to lend. I mean, the banks aren't able to take risks. And I think that's bad for young people, because ultimately it's going to be younger people where banks need to take risks to give them mortgages.
All right, well, Senator Andrew Bragg, that was all the questions I had for you today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Eliza. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.